We are very fortunate to have with us United Nations Secretary General Special Representative, Dr. Kande Yumkela. Dr. Kande Yumkela, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us on African News on Radio tonight.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
We were fortunate to run into you at the Africa America Institute 60th Gala Awards and Anniversary. And you were awarded the Distinguished Award. First of all, give us a little background of Dr. Yumkela growing up in Sierra Leone. Are you from Freetown?
I am actually from the north. I'm from a northwestern district called Candia, but grew up partly in Freetown for most of my time. Went to school in the south, secondary school in the south, and university at Njala University College before coming to the States.
And you one of the beneficiaries of the Africa America Institute. Tell us about that experience.
A great experience. I graduated with, I think it's the equivalent of the United States of cum laude, and I won a scholarship called AFGRAD Scholarship from the African American Institute to pursue graduate studies in the United States. So because of that break, I went to Cornell and a master's degree in agricultural economics, University of Illinois, PhD, and I taught at Michigan State University before joining the United Nations.
Wow, and what were you teaching at Michigan State?
Agribusiness management. Yeah, I was part of the agribusiness group.
You were also the Minister of Trade and Industry for Sierra Leone.
Yes, indeed. I served as Minister for Sierra Leone as well.
Right.
Then came back and continued teaching at Michigan State briefly before joining the United Nations.
Right. Now, with your current role as the Special Representative of Mr. Ban Ki-moon at the United Nations, you're on a mission to eliminate energy poverty. Can you explain what that means for our listeners?
Yes. Well, today in this world, we have about 1.3 billion people who have no access to electricity. Mm-hmm. You also have about 2.8 billion that rely on biomass for their primary energy needs, meaning that they rely on charcoal, firewood, or cow dung, yeah, the waste from cows, to provide heat for cooking or for warming their home.
Right.
We want to end that because most of those people are also the people who are the poorest of the poor, and at the same time, their economies do not have enough energy to power growth and economic development. That's one goal we have in this initiative. The second one is to improve energy efficiency. To be specific, we want to double the annual rate of improvement of energy efficiency, meaning that we want to reduce energy wastage, which means that you would reduce how much power you have to generate, and also implies that you will lower the emissions, greenhouse gas emissions that come from power generation. And the third target is to double the share of renewable energy in the global energy mix, meaning encouraging the world to move towards a low-carbon source of energy. And these three targets combined, access, efficiency, and renewables, will also keep the world within the 2 degrees temperature that we believe we should be below if we're going to avoid the disastrous impacts of climate change. So we want to end energy poverty, but at the same time, we want to transform the way the world produces and uses energy in order to also ensure that we avoid the worst impacts of climate change.
So do you think your goal of ending energy poverty by 2030 is attainable?
We believe it is achievable given the technologies we have, if only we can have the right political leadership and also the determination and the commitment to deploy investment and finance that is necessary. Currently, the total official development assistance, that is the aid money that goes into energy access, is about $9 billion from all the sources that we know per year, $9 billion per year. We need to wrap that up to about $48 billion per year over the next 20 years, if we are to end energy poverty. And that's possible. We believe it is possible. The technologies are known. What is crucial now is having the right public policies in place in the developing countries that will give confidence to investors to be able to invest money and deploy relevant technology. So that is possible. We believe it is possible.
For places like your homeland, Sierra Leone, with plenty of sun, it gets so hot, it's unimaginable. How does solar energy apply to your homeland in terms of development and ending energy poverty?
Well, solar and other renewable energy technologies will definitely help end energy poverty in Sierra Leone and in other African countries. They have significant solar radiation year-round, but they also have other renewable energy sources. Sierra Leone in particular has a number of rivers, big and small rivers, that can be exploited for hydropower. Wind technology we're not sure of, so there's some doubts about, and so we have to carry out what we call wind mapping for countries like Sierra Leone. But in a number of other African countries, all these sources are possible. In addition, you also have the great potential of bioenergy. So using all these sources, we believe that you can provide what we call off-grid or mini-grid solutions, meaning that you can deploy these technologies in communities to generate power as low as 500 kilowatts or 1 megawatt. The community can be able to power clinics, they can power their schools, and also households can have electricity, and we can save women and girls the burden of having to spend about 20 hours a week to collect firewood and water just to meet their basic cooking needs. But let me throw another reason why we need to end energy poverty in countries like Sierra Leone. We have estimated, WHO and also some people at the University of Berkeley have estimated, that globally every year we have 4 million premature deaths due to pulmonary related to indoor air pollution arising from the use of charcoal, firewood, and other sources of biomass.
Mm.
That number, 4 million premature deaths a year, is worse than HIV, AIDS, and malaria combined, and 70 to 80% of those people are women and children.
Wow.
So lack of energy is, in fact, a silent tsunami killing many people. And this past week, together with Mrs. Hillary Clinton, former Secretary of State of the United States, okay, we celebrated 3 years of the launching of the Global Cooksilver Alliance. She mentioned these figures there, that, in fact, indoor air pollution now in poor countries is the number 4 killer in the world, number 2 killer of women in the world.
Now,
because they have to use these biomass sources for their primary energy needs.
Now, before we proceed any further, I must remind our listeners, if you have just joined us, you are tuning to African New Dawn Radio, Sundays 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on WRSU 88.7 FM at Rutgers University. We broadcast in live from the New Brunswick campus, and we are speaking with Dr. Kande Yunkela. He is the United Nations Special Representative of the Secretary General, and he recently was awarded the Distinguished Alumnus Award from the Africa America Institute. We're going to take a quick music break, and we'll come back and continue this conversation. We're going to listen to a song from Sierra Leone. It's called Sweet Palm Wine, one of my favorites. Stay with us, WRSU 88.7 FM.
To do it again, cause we won't just go to sea. Say we there, yes sir. Waiting, so long you don't keep me waiting. I am waiting. Oh yeah, even I let sweet palm wine. All right, the more I drink, the more I want. Yeah, every day you dey make me remember, make me remember. I know they get to the younger, so I remember. Hey, even I let sweet palm wine go right. The more I drink, the more I want. Yeah, I'm gonna do good things to you, so you go to smile. I go to do what they do. Everybody go to ask me why I had a trip for the baby. I, and I just alone connection. City, I like you collection. You they create attention. Anytime you they smile, they enter. Come on, Arodo, come on, Arodo, do, 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 do. Hey, I go appreciate it. Anytime you hear this beat, make you shake it, shake it. So, if I get close to you, when you drop that thing, I go catch it. You go tell me, Coco, do, 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 do. Baby, now let's sweet palm wine. All right, the more I drink, the more I want. Yeah, every day you make me remember, make me remember. know they get to the younger, so I remember. I say, in a leg sweet from wine. All right. The more I drink, the more I want. Anytime you come closer to my body, the way I think is slow. Though I try to hide, I'm well, well, and emotions the show. Hey, I can tell you the secret. You got the thing going on, realize. Make I tell you what, go, go, got the top, the top, the top. Anyway, you can wind up. Well, 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 oh, well, 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 no connection, I let the collection. Where you the great attention? That's for be your competition. I let sweet family wine. Alright, the more I drink, the more I want. Yeah. Every day you the make me remember, me I remember. Yeah, yeah. I know they get to the younger, so I remember. You I let sweet family wine. The more I drink, the more I want.
Yes, you are listening to African New Dawn and the New Dawn Experience. And Dennis has been talking to Dr. Yemkela, and he is the UN Secretary General and Chairman of the UN Energy and the former Director General of the United Nations Industrial Development Organization. So we're going to go back to Dennis for the conclusion of this interview.
Yes, Sheila, thank you so much. And we're back. Dr. Yemkela, thank you so much for joining us. Currently, I know you're based in Geneva, Switzerland. Where are you speaking to us from?
I'm speaking to you from Washington, D.C. I'm actually based in Vienna, Austria.
Oh, Vienna, Austria. Okay. All right. So, Dr. Yemkela, tell us, is there a relationship between energy and in poverty and world global insecurity? Is there a connection between these aforementioned?
There is definitely a connection amongst all three.
Uh-huh.
It is not by coincidence that the poorest of the poor are also the most energy poor. Without energy, you really cannot drive productivity in communities. You can't power schools or hospitals. You can't process agricultural products. You can't store them properly to bring them to market. So we've seen a direct correlation between lack of energy and income poverty as well. Now, in terms of insecurity, I now serve on an advisory board established by the International Peace Institute, where we are in fact discussing ways of dealing with some relationship we've seen between energy, the availability of those resources, and conflict. We're looking at about 20 hotspots around the world. Some is related to oil and gas. Some is related to hydropower, because if I take hydropower, for example, a number of rivers run through several countries. And with the push for building more hydropower dams, we know it's raising issues about access to water. And in some locations, there's already projections because of climate change that these regions are facing water stress. So the more we have the energy power generation accounts for about 20% of their water use. That's the global average. 20% of water withdrawal is for energy use, 70% for agriculture. But in some regions, the energy withdrawal for energy may come up to about 30-40%.
Uh-huh.
So that is a potential source of conflict among countries in Africa, but also in Central Asia as well.
So from your experience as a diplomat, and you being in the international scene, what does Africa, specifically Sierra Leone, needs to do? What needs to happen in Sierra Leone or in Africa?
Well, for energy, our advocacy is that we do for the energy sector what has been done for the mobile sector, mobile telephone sector, meaning what? You deregulate, you establish long-term strategies and policies that will cover several decades. But those policies must be in place, they must be transparent and predictable. When that is done, private sector responds. I give you an example. In 2000, we had less than about 4 or 5 million mobile phone connections in Africa. By 2012, we had over 700 million mobile connections. Meaning what? Private sector responded the moment African government unbundled the telephony sector, privatized, attracted foreign investment, and established public policy that gave confidence to private investors, both local and international, that their investments will be safe. If we do the same for the energy sector, transparent long-term policies and strategies, and certain degrees of incentives, we believe we can encourage an energy revolution that will not only give people access to energy, but will also help them move towards, in fact, leapfrogging towards deploying more low-carbon technologies.
Quickly, as we wind down and we, you know, the clock is a tyranny, do you think our beloved country, Sierra Leone, would meet its MDG, Millennium Development Goals?
Like most African countries, we are behind in a number of the indicators, almost all. However, we are on a trajectory to be able to achieve them probably the next decade. And Sierra Leone now is lucky. They've discovered a lot of minerals. They've also discovered oil and gas. I believe we can invest in the necessary social infrastructure to help that country achieve its Millennium Development Goals and, in fact, transform the economy into a middle-income country, I believe, between 15 to 20 years, if there's dedication and appropriate action is taken.
I know you have a very hectic schedule, so I'll make this the final question. I asked you this question at the awards gala on Wednesday, right? And there's a lot of speculation about you running for Sierra Leone presidency come the next presidential election. Dr. Kande Yumtela, are you planning to run for the president of Sierra Leone?
Well, I just started a new job 2.5 months now as the energy czar of the United Nations. But
right.
Let me put it that way. If the circumstances are right and my people ask me to do in my country what I have done globally over 2 decades, I would consider serving them. But it depends on a number of circumstances, but as it is now, first things first, I enjoy what I'm doing right now and I'm trying to help humanity and help my people at the same time.
Right. Now, your people have asked you because there's a Facebook page called Why Dr. Kande Yumtela Should Run for President. Have you seen that?
I've read about it.
Okay. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you. We hope to have you again when you come to New York, if you ever do come to the UN headquarters. And we thank you so much for joining African New Dawn Radio at Rutgers University, WRSU 88.7 FM in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Thank you, Dr. Yumtela.
Thank you for having me.
And extend our regards to Mrs. Kande Yumtela.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me again. I hope I can do another interview with you in the future.
Yes, sir. Thank you, and good night.
Good night.